The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 769. It's The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter.
Hello.
That's your cue. Normally, Pete, Steve only gets stuck on his name. Steve.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. You were just eating when you came on. I always like to know, delve into the single man's lifestyle cuisine. What are you eating?
Chocolate eclairs.
Chocolate eclairs. Well, the sweets.
Wow.
The sweets.
Yeah.
I don't like those. I'm not a big fan.
Well, I'm not usually, but I went on a long car journey yesterday, so I bought a packet for Suckanum.
Did you actually just, you know, go on a long car journey so you could eat the sweets?
Yes.
Okay, where was the long car journey to? Where are you going?
It was Cardiff to Mold.
Wow. And, that is... what a place name. Mold.
Not best,
it's
is it?
It's dreadful, isn't it? Really is. Like, where do you live? I live in Mold. Just near Mold. And whenever you're on the news in Wales, you often used to get, didn't you? Because north of Wales, there's Mold Magistrates Court. And they always used to come from, here I am at Mold Magistrates Court. And there's always some depressing news from Mold. And you think, what a place to live. So all you used to get from Mold was depressing news, essentially, about a horrible court case of some young man sort of beating up old people or something. But why did you go to Mold, Steve?
I was doing a radio recording.
Right, must have been good there. Have you ever been to Mold, Pete?
Can't say I have, just, no.
You're not missing out. All right. Anyway, listen, I've started the timer because straight away Steve said, let's not mess around this week, because I want to be on time and I'm pretty busy, got lots of things to do, got lots of chocolate eclairs to get through, yeah?
Yes.
I'm finishing them off for my long distance journey. I need to keep chewing them. And so what did they come in, Steve? What bag of sweets was it with?
It was just them.
Well, hang on, you said you didn't like them, you bought a whole bag of them.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not I don't like them, I find them a bit chewy.
Quite interesting purchasing decision.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Considering you don't really like them too much, they're a bit chewy. I'll buy them for a long journey because they'll keep me going because they're very chewy.
am I seeing parallels with share buying?
Yeah, I don't like them, but I'll buy them because they're chewy. They'll keep me going. I've been chewing all the way. All with the Mold.
It was either that or Werther's Originals, and I think I'm a bit young for them.
What do you mean? On the advert, they've got a grandfather, I don't trust him, giving it to his grandson. The Chewits, the Werther's Original.
Right.
Okay, there we are. So, was that in a garage, Steve? You had that choice, was it?
No, it was in Asda.
You must have had more of a choice than that. Werther's Originals or chocolate eclairs, both of which you don't particularly like, but you picked a big bag of one just so you could chew your way to Mold.
Well, I did also accompany them with some Haribo Tangtastics.
There we are then. Now he's opening up the suitcase file. I was going to say there, because I said that's going to be the smallest Asda in the world. It's got just two packs of sweets. It's rubbish, that is. Anyway, was it a good journey, Steve? Was it a good radio show?
It was all right. Lovely weather yesterday, so nice car journey.
Yeah. So, I've been talking for a couple of weeks. I went to Centre Parks.
Wow.
And, have you ever been to Centre Parks?
Yes.
No.
All right. When did you go, Pete?
I went to a work thing. Weren't you there?
Was it Red Dragon? I remember that. Was it Red Dragon? Was it?
Yes.
I remember pictures of you all on your bikes here. Was it? Oh, didn't you get absolutely wrecked?
That's it, yes. There's a free bar and it got well out of hand.
Yeah, tell me, what happened there? Yeah, how did you get out of hand? I remember that. People came back with a week-long hangovers or something. But weren't you on the edge of being sacked or something?
Sounds about right.
I'd rather not go into it. No, the thing was, we all had to do sales presentation stuff, things the day after the free bar. And everyone was in... Yeah, it got well out of hand. And it was just a free bar, enough said. And then...
No, not enough said. I want more detail on the bone here.
I remember then having to stand up and give a presentation and being, probably still relatively drunk. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Quality.
So is it very productive, those kind of things, aren't they? Let's go for it.
Yeah, team bonding.
If you want any, you know, if you really want a productive meeting away day, don't include a free bar, especially just before the presentations. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be on tip-top form, are you, really? Anyway.
At the same time, while we were there, I think it was W.H. Smith had a similar thing going on in another venue on the same site. And I remember we all kind of gate-crashed that party, so we were there partying with them, and they had a free bar as well. So, it was a quality, productive day for two big companies there.
Okay, cool, lovely, sounds good. Yeah, well, I didn't. What's good about Centrebox now, as my kids grow older, is that you can put them in classes, you know?
Brilliant.
And for like 2-3 hours. So what I'm saying, essentially, you can go on holiday without the kids, even if you've got kids, you know, which is a good thing. So just get away from the kids, you know, because they're so annoying.
Right,
kids
brilliant.
And I think Fred's got, you know, my genes. Which,
yes, annoying jeans.
Very annoying.
Just very baggy. anyway, let's get on some stocks. And it was a good time, actually. And I quite like the dip pool. There's a dip pool in Centrebox, isn't it, right? I was in there. People were jumping in and out like woofters, you know. I just stood in there and pretended it was nice and warm. Wasn't it nice? I'm a real man, yeah? And I go out. What people are getting wrong is this. There's a warm pool, a very warm pool, and then there's the dip pool, right?
Yeah.
And then you get normally really overweight people sitting in the warm pool, you know? People want an easy life. They're lazy, fat people in the warm pool, you know? But what you understand is every other swimming place you go to, every other pool you go to after that is going to be cold. It's going to be an uncomfortable experience, you know? Yes, if you just sit in your big fat bum in the warm pool, it's fine. If you want to go anywhere else, it's cold. You go in the dip pool, right, for like 10, 15, 20, even a minute. Every other pool you go to then will be nice and warm, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way of looking at it. It's almost an analogy of life. You've got to have a bit of pain to experience the pleasure, you know? If you have too much pleasure, you experience a lot more pain.
I went into a dip pool on my holiday last, and it was so cold, I jumped up and banged my head on the ceiling and had a massive, like, cut on my head.
Others here knocked himself out and nearly drowned. And they brought him out. He's blue, rigid. He was stiff. Even when they took his trunk. Anyway. Right, let's get on to stocks. Let's get on some stocks. And I see on the on Friday, we are recording this before close of play on Friday. But it's nice to see. I think we all hold some Upland shares, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, well, do you see on Friday up 12.7? I'm looking at now. 12.73%. And this is off the back of, we know Upland Resources. Worth doing your research on this company. I like Steve Staley. He's a man, Dr. Steve Staley, this is Dr. Sensible Steve. He's a man who revels in due diligence. And it's got to be right. He will take his time over assets. He's been involved with several other, you know, successful sort of small caps, oil and gas sector companies before. He's got this sensible, sexy asset strategy. And this is very good because you know certain companies either go for the sensible, which is like, you know, they get a shares in different oil fields, like 50 barrels of oil here, 100 barrels of oil a day there, and that's it. Or you get these companies that go for really high risk. And so they may hit or miss, but they could fly if they hit. And let's be honest, the chance of getting a sort of success in a wildcat drill, this is a place that's never been drilled before, that's had seismic and all the stuff looked at, you know, it's something like less than, you know, 15%. I think it's about 10% success, right? Between 10 and, you know, 20%. So very, you know, short chance, low odds of getting a chance of success, COS it's called. But Upland, they've combined this strategy. So they've got some near-term producing assets coming on online soon. But they're also looking at, you know, potentially company transformative sort of assets. And that is in Morocco and the Far East. And now a picture was tweeted from their Twitter account. And it's quite impressive. If you look at it, you've got there the Sarawak Council, which is the Far East, which is, this week, I don't know if you noticed, there've been more, the directors have been loading shares more, buying more shares. And already this, you know, these directors got a chunk of shares amongst them, unbelievable, a huge amount of shares they hold, a lot of skin in the game. But they've been loading some more up. And then on their Twitter this week, I'll see what it was. Now, Sarawak is a part of, was Malaysia, or it's almost a autonomous part of Malaysia, but they have some problems there. But anyway, there's big oil and gas reserves there, you know? And they had a meeting this week with It looks like a very formal meeting. So it's photos from an extra meeting with the Chief Minister of the State and Secretary of Sarawak, taken on their recent visit to London. Now, you're going to be asking a question. Why would these guys, there's one, two, three, four, five, six of them, why would they be coming over from Sarawak to London to meet with Upland unless something was going on? There's a very formal picture, all of the suits, a desk in front of them with, I'm trying to look at the documents there, see if I can zoom in on anything, but there's a lot of documents there. There's a, you know, it looks like they've been looking at some documents.
Is this research?
Yes, this is, right. But what I say is it's going in the right direction, you know? So this is, to me, this says that sexy part of the strategy is gaining some ground, you know? And so hopefully, I'm thinking, you know, we can't be far off from news, because when I had last time Steve Staley on the podcast, Dr. Sensible Steve, he said, hopefully within 3 months, we'll be having news. And so...
Or they could have just come to do some sightseeing in London.
Well, in their suits in a boardroom.
Yeah.
I doubt it's
a very formal sightseeing tour.
So yeah, that's exciting. And
yeah.
I genuinely believe, because it's only like, what, 6 million market cap, you know, that's what it is, Upland. And they've got cash. And, it's 4.89, so it's less than 5. And when you've got, you've got to look at market caps. When you want to see a company almost double, triple in a quarter, you've got to look at market caps. It's a lot easier, like I always say, for a company that's a 5 million market cap to double than it is for a company that's 100 million market cap to double. You know, a lot easier.
Yes.
And you can get multiples of that. And I tell you also, this week, any observations from you guys? Because I'm aware I've been doing a lot of chatting.
Well, one that I picked up since we last spoke was Vesarion, because I put in a little buy order in there.
Yes.
It dipped down, triggered that, went back up. I thought, yes, I've picked the bottom on this one, and then it's come back down again.
Yeah, but listen...
Below or...?
It's about what I pay for it, for the pay for them. So, you know...
But are you...
6% below that now.
Yeah, but how much?
I'm going to put another... tranche, as you say.
Yes.
The price
always scale in. Now, you know, I have to repeat this often as possible because, you know, some people don't agree with it, but they don't understand. You know, I'm not saying overexpose. I'm saying what you do is get your portfolio, you know, then you say, right, I'm not going to be exposed by more than 10% to any one stock. Depends what your risk tolerance is. And then, so let's say, for a case of round figures, let's say you've got 100 grand portfolio, because it's round figures, percentage-wise, works out. So you say, right, 10%, I'm not going to put 10 grand more than any one company. So then you buy your first, so you put 10 grand outside, say, for Zarin, for example, and so you split down three, which is 3,333. Then buy your first tranche at what you think is a good level. Never buy it on a spike in the chart. You know,
no.
So you buy 3,333 at a good level, say maybe around about placing price or just a little bit higher or whatever, and then you put another tranche 10% lower. That's another 3,333, and another tranche limit order 10% lower than that. So you're never going to overexpose yourself to more than say 10 grand ever. It's never going to go over 10% of your portfolio. But if you thought the original tranche which you bought at was good value, then why wouldn't it be good value if nothing's changed on the story of the stock? Why wouldn't you think it's a good value at 10% lower? It's cheaper, isn't it?
Like, absolutely. Isn't it?
You know, with any other goods and services out there, if they drop in price by 10%, you go, oh, hang on, I'll have some of that. You know, if your favourite pack of chocolate eclairs, Steve, drops, you'd be back out there, wouldn't you?
Well, they're quite chewy.
Yeah, they are quite chewy. They're probably going to last them another year anyway. The
only downside there is if it goes down by 5% and never moves.
What's going to... But it's not going to do that, is it? Because if you've done your research and you know there's significant news ahead, or you're a stock like Vesarion, who are one of the key players in, you know, graphene in the UK, which is a fast-moving sector, and there's a lot of development going on there all the time, then it's, you know, development's going to happen, isn't it? You know, so I'm just thinking, and I think if you're going to play a graphene story, why not play Vesarion that has, you know, shareholders from Manchester University, the inventors of graphene, and also Cambridge, which are, you know, pretty much at the cutting edge of printable graphene. So, and then can I produce at mass production, which most people can't. So, I'd say good call, Peter, good call there. And of course, you know, as far as your stock's concerned, you also have to look at diversifications in what sectors you're in, you know? It's not about all, you know, in the oil and gas sector or all the retail sector, you know? It's nice to have a bit of difference there. So, you are cutting edge there.
Diversity.
Diversity. Yeah. Ashley Banjo, ask him about diversity.
That's it.
I noticed this week Asian Met shot up for no news, or did I miss something?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if you did, Steve, because...
Oh,
they've come back again, yeah.
They pulled back again, but they jumped up about 20
Yeah,
they said about the sale, yeah, there's more grades. They've almost finished the drilling now for their... I think they have finished the drilling for the BKM project for the pre-feasibility study. Oh, sorry, the feasibility, not pre-feasibility, the feasibility study there at BKM. But they did say, lower down, there's even better. So the pit that we're going to be... producing from is good, but even deeper down, they've been tested deep down, it looks even better there, or just as good. So they've got a good chance to expand the resource, expand the mine life, and also, they did mention a while back, the sale of jelly. They're going to sell some jelly.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, sorry, July, isn't it? That's what it is. Their gold asset they have, they're going to sell that for $700,000, which is quite nice. It'll boost the coffers. Oof. What are the coffers, anyway? It's a bunch of people just coughing. That'll boost the coffers, and so that'll be good. And you know, there's also, let's be honest, there's several things going to happen here. And Tony would not put that into the market when he was still CEO. He's now chairman now, isn't he? But he did say a couple of times, you know, corporate discussions are at an advanced stage, and he wouldn't say that unless it's true. And so I think there's just a bit of negotiating going on and a bit of due diligence happening. So that's something in the background. There's also, I think, the license for Bhutan coming out. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm a master man of Bhutan. What's your name, boy? My name's Bhutan. I like chocolate clays.
So another one.
If you saw Bhutan on one of your dating apps, Steve, would you swipe right? Is right good or left good? What is it?
Right is good.
Video.
Mr. Right, I suppose, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And Mrs. Right, yes. So anyway, and Bhutan is a massive asset, you know? So they've got a pipeline here. They get BKM up into production. Cash flow generated from that will help them start getting, do the tests and on Bhutan. And then they bring your funding in for that as well. So there's a nice pipeline there, two big assets. You know, so Asia Met's fine, isn't it? It's good, you know, it's a steady stock on AIM.
On the other end of the scale, I wanted to talk about advanced oncotherapy, which I've obviously owned for a long time now. And it's just sunk. And I've kind of kept track of the story, but not really. And it's reached comic levels of loss now. I'm sort of gallows humour, really. I'm now an epic 87% down.
Yeah.
I'm quite chuffed with that.
I think that'd be my record there.
And so that is amazing. But what I don't get, and somebody, lots of people will know far more about it than me, is that we're seeing a lot of directors buying, obviously trying to support the share price and trying to say that, you know, nothing's wrong and it's all going to go to plan. But the price is just plummeting, and it's down another 10% on Friday. Do you have any more knowledge on that? I haven't really looked into the story, so I can't really. I'm just trying to pick your brains for it. But what would you do in that situation? 87% down, what do you do? I mean, cut your massive losses and run, or just...
The thing is, they've got these, you know, like almost when we first started looking at these, we thought it was almost, you know, it was almost too good to be true. These machines they have, which I assume aren't lies, but for some reason, orders have been pulled. They haven't got any active orders now. When they did have some in China and stuff like that, they've got this Harley Street thing going on, which is setting up their own clinic.
Yeah, they're building that, aren't they? Well, yeah.
But in the meantime, they desperately need funding. Or they have got funding via this convertible loan note, which is a bit of a killer, of course. Yeah. But I just think, you know, to me, yeah, if it's done that much, you can do one or two things. Can you just see it, just like you laugh at it and see if it recovers, or take what little you've got, get out and put it in something you think will go in the right direction.
It'd be nice to get down to a nice round 100%.
Goals in life there, Pete.
Dr. Mike Sinclair purchased 200,000 at 25 pence. So that's, what's that? That was 50 grand, is it? Yeah. But saying that, they get paid a heck of a lot, you know? So he owns now 6.65%. Yeah, it's a lot of money to lose. They're plowing into it, isn't it? So he owns 74 million shares he owns now. He owns 4.9 million shares.
Oh.
So
that's a slight difference.
Yeah, so that's how much he owns times So he won £1 million worth of stock he's got. Yeah, I don't know. They're trying to prop it up, aren't they? But is anything happening there? Why? You've got to question why, you know, there have been no active orders anymore. Anyway, listen, the time's running down. And, you know, if this was such a, you know, a cutting-edge bit of kit that's smaller and cheaper and more accurate than the other bits of kit, surely other, you know, those orders would have continued in by Sanofi in China and all that. There's something going on, isn't there? Something wrong there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, but...
unless they say in China, oh, too good to be true. We didn't sign, too good to be true. We tested the work, but too good to be true. We cancel. Cancel order. Cancel order!
Yeah. Why did it not work? Why did it not work?
Yeah. Probably smacking, probably didn't work. But no, I can't say that, because it's obviously maybe a legal problem there. Nah, not work! You plug in. Oh, okay. Right, so... I had a Rob Proctor. Now, they didn't hit again, Audio Boom, right? Mm. And it was annoying because he was almost laughing about the figure in the market that they've got this year, 5.4 million. Because they've done 3 million, booked already, and these are the worst two quarters, they're saying, right? And he gave an example of one of the podcasts. It's phenomenal. He wouldn't say this. I don't know, he got a barefaced lie, but he said the podcast they've just brought on, right, had they've tripled the listener figures on it, and the in-red spot rate for the ads on this started off at $250 per in-red ad. Now, there's three of them, so it's $750 per podcast episode, right? Since they brought them on and they've been promoted by other podcasts, they've tripled the audience. Now... the spot rate for the in-red spot ads, right, are $15,000 per red ad.
Wow.
So again, $45,000 per thing. Wow. And they're just going to expand into Europe. He said, he called it a cookie cutter, you know, way of now of monetizing. But it's building up. And I think if you judge that, right, the worst quarter for them is the quarter one. Because over Christmas, a lot of podcasters don't do podcasts. And but even so, they've now booked 3 million worth of revenue already, and the target is 5.4. I think the next two quarters are the busiest for them. I think going by that, they could do, you know, anywhere between 7 and 9 million this year, you know? So revenue is going up there, and at the moment, share price is an all-time low. So, you know, guys, I just think, do your research there. There's some institutional investors come on board, they've got cash. What's the issue here? I don't understand. You know, so they're what, 20 million market cap, and he's saying now they're making their own podcast, which will bring their margins up to 40%. And I'm just thinking, you know, next couple of years, this really is the time it starts working. And I even think the next update will be quite impressive. But I'd be interested to see if you don't smash that end of year target, 5.4. Two of the companies I want to talk about, Angus Energy. People, I honestly think people have been short-sighted here. There's a problem with the Surrey Council, you know, in Brockham, you know. They said, the protesters flagged this up, and the Surrey Council were uppity about it. Surrey Council gave them planning permission in 2006 or something ridiculous for doing this top surface work, right? That's all that they need to do. And then all these protesters kicked up a bit of fuss, and Surrey Council, they're happy. They haven't got anything to do with it. They've got authority now from, you know, Oil and Gas Authority, Health and Safety Executive, and the Environmental Agency. Those are the only three bodies you need to get permission for to drill below. And so that is going to go ahead. And I think at the moment, they're quite... Why I'm saying them, Angus have been overlooked at the moment. They've got this huge potential under Brockham. You know, Horse Hill hit the front newspapers, you know, 2 years ago for this Gatwick Gusher and 1,000 or 100 billion barrels of oil below that area there near Gatwick. It looks at the moment, from the tests they've done at Brockham, it's going to be even better than Horse Hill. And as people, you know, are overlooking this. Brockham will go ahead. All they need now is the production authority from the Oil and Gas Authority. Nothing to do with the council. They don't need any permission from the council. So I'm just thinking, right now... have a look at Angus Energy, you know, do some research on it. They're all sort of 4 months low, or whatever, almost from the start. They floated 5 pence, they pretty much doubled, and they've come back now. And I think they're a 20 million market cap, and I think it could be transformational here if they get that. Well, they will get that permission from the OGA to drill at Brockham. There shouldn't be any problem there. And one other thing, do you see My Square this week? Had a good week. The volume on that stock is amazing. It's been doing 10 times.
Massively volatile, though.
What's that?
Very volatile.
Well, yeah, but it's gone up. I bought it about a penny, and it went up 60% in one day. And then did that placing. It came down, but I sold half, luckily, at the top. Yeah. I didn't know why. I just sold on that same day. It went up. I sold half. But I still own half. But my average is about a penny. And it's now 1.8. Mm-hmm. So that's nice, isn't it? And it's like they are multiples of their volume every day happening at My Square. Multiples. Yeah. I think it was on Friday. The more volume you do every day, above your average volume rate, the average goes up. So when I first started mentioning this about 2 weeks ago, I think the average daily volume is about 5 million a day shares traded. Right? Mm. It's now 12 million a day, and that was on Friday, and they beat that within 20 minutes of the first trading. So the volume is phenomenal, and they reckon this could be huge at MySquare. It's like a social network in Myanmar, formerly of...
I think you've mentioned it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
why are they? You say they say it's going to be massive. Who are they?
Why is it massive? Because Myanmar, right, people don't know. They don't have traditional... Most of the telephone lines are rubbish, right? So now they've got three big telecoms companies gone into Myanmar, so most people have gone straight to 4G, or 3 and 4G. And so most of them are on mobiles. You know, whereas we had the old tradition of going through landlines first, then mobiles, they've gone straight to mobile. Right, and straight away, the Myanmar youth are on MySquare. It's actually the go-to. MySquare have got 10 million almost registered users already. They've hooked up with Telenor, which is, if you do the Wikipedia search, it's a massive telecoms company from Norway, but they're one of the three majors in Myanmar who've got 18 million subscribers. And they've got four revenue streams coming online this month or next month. So there's potential here. They're very undervalued as a social network with that kind of traction, and also a cornered market like that in Myanmar. You know, they can either be taken out for multiples, or it'll just grow and grow, because they are doing very well there, you know. So I think potential, when you see it's like a sub what, six, seven million market cap, you know, I think there's huge potential there. I mean, Beaufort, their brokers, who are always a bit biased, broker notes are handy to read through, but they're always a bit biased, of course, because it's the company they represent. But they got a target of them, 21 pence. They're at 1.8 pence at the moment. So, but there's a lot of people saying it could be a $1 billion company if it carries on growing the way it has grown in the last year, and they monetize these revenue streams. It could happen. So
Another one we need to talk about briefly is Next.
Oh, yes. We've got 2 minutes left. Do not miss it.
I looked at it earlier in the week and was like, oh, wow, because we were talking about buying it about 40 quid and it got to 44 quid. I thought, wow, that would have been our 10%.
Yeah.
First morning, released some pretty bad figures and plummeted down to 41.5 quid.
Yeah, our limit was 39.
We kind of got away with it, but at the same time, we could have probably just nicked our 10% before we wouldn't have done that, would we? We would have probably got caught in that and lost a chunk of profit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was odd because they did bring out that trading update, and it was dreadful, let's be honest. Mm. They were saying at one point the profits could be down. They didn't know. They weren't quite sure. It could be down as much as 13%. So I can't see them rallying strongly from here for a while.
So dodge that bullet. Well done, guys. Well done, yes.
But I think we've achieved, I think we'll get our limit order filled here. I do, and I may dip below that. But, I mean, like I said, with these big companies, pay a nice dividend, and they've got the firepower to turn the company around, like Tesco's have, you know? They'll get the right people in. They'll just hire them. They'll just get the best people in the industry. They'll hire them, and they'll sort it out. Having said that, it's taking Marks & Spencer's forever to sort out. But I think they were, you know, they're targeting the wrong place. That's the trouble, you see.
Retail is high street retail is a tough game now, isn't it? Getting tougher time, I think.
What was interesting is that their retail sales, their high street store sales, was down 8%. You know, from the last quarter, but their directory sales, their online sales, obviously up 3.3%. So, you know, there's hope there, isn't there? You think, well, you know, focus on the strong area of the business, get rid of some stores, maybe the ones that aren't profitable, that'll save a bit of money. So they'll do what they need to do, I think. And when you consider, like I said, in November last year they were 80 quid a share, and now they're 42 quid a share. I think pretty much the fall is in there, you know, and it's bouncing. We just bounced below that 40 quid level. But I think
it's recovered a bit now, hasn't it?
So, the price is 42.11. Yeah, but I mean, I think it's off a big sell-off yesterday. I think we'll bump along a little bit and maybe get our order filled, and then it'll fly up then, guys, by 10%.
Perfect. And on that note...
Yeah, well, we've got 30 seconds left. Steve, any plans for the weekend?
No, I'm working all the weekend, so busy one for me. Yeah.
Okay. In that club, doing some club work, you know?
No. I'm doing editing work.
Well, that's what you call it now, is it?
Yes.
All right. And are you dating now?
I'm not. No. I've come off the websites.
Why?
Just no luck. Bored them though.
Well, how many websites are there? Is Grindr?
Not on that one.
Oh, sorry. He's gone through everyone on there.
All right.
That's, if you didn't know, that's the end of the podcast, guys.
Right, okay, I can. Yeah, I just stopped talking. Yeah.
Okay. So that's it, and Peter, any plans for the weekend?
Absolutely nothing.
Excellent stuff. Lovely to hear, guys. Cool. Both of you got nothing planned. Yeah. Steve's I've a bit of work. Yep. In fact, we managed to get rid of one of our kids, so we got one kid. Any chance we got at any weekend to get rid of the kids, we do, you know? So,
Brilliant.
So that's our ambition throughout the week, to try to farm out our kids for the weekend to someone.
And they're like high-fiving him. Yeah, we got him, yeah!
Yeah, this weekend we got a 50% success rate, because one of them's gone, so that's good. So,
How much did you get for it?
We have to pay them. So the other one, you know, because to be honest, to be fair, to be very nice, you know, the cellar we got, we normally put them both in the weekend. It's too small for one, too small for two people. For one, it's quite cozy. So, I've got a bit of heart, you know, so at least he won't be too cramped in there on his own this weekend, the older boy. Lovely. Have a nice weekend.
Have a good one. Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.